Good boy, you're a good boy.
The dog looked up at him, grinning in agreement. It was a good-looking dog, obviously pedigree, and apparently quite happy, though it was rather hard to tell with a bloodhound. The face wasn't really equipped to register happiness, and it had the saddest eyes Jordan had ever seen. The dog was obviously well-trained as well as friendly, in that it hadn't tried to jump up on him the moment it met him, and Jordan's estimate of Victor went up a little. Anyone who kept a fine animal like this as a pet couldn't be all bad. He just wished someone had mentioned it was there. He grinned down at the bloodhound, and it put its head into his lap for him to scratch behind his ears. Jordan lay back and looked about him, taking in his bedchamber. He hadn't seen anything this luxurious since he'd sung for his supper in a top-rank brothel in Hub City. There was no denying it was comfortable, very comfortable. But it was also gauche, gaudy, and almost terminally sensuous. His boots practically disappeared into the thick pile carpet, and the bed was so soft it was like sitting on a cloud. In fact, he'd sunk so deeply into it he wasn't sure if he could get up again without help. As usual, the fittings and furnishings clashed loudly, but Jordan was growing inured to that. His gaze fell on the huge, blocky wardrobe that covered most of one wall, and a thought occurred to him. Sooner or later, he was going to be meeting the important people at court, and when he did, he'd better not be wearing his present attire. After several days on the road, his clothes smelled strongly of sweat, dust, and a few other things he didn't even want to think about. He was surprised flowers hadn't wilted in their vases when he had walked past them. Presumably there was a bathroom somewhere in this suite, and he'd look for it later, when he had the time, and when he was fairly sure he wouldn't be interrupted. Roderick or the others could be back at any time, and he hated being interrupted in the bath. Right now, he'd settle for a change of clothes.
All right, time to get up.
Jordan pushed the dog gently to one side and struggled up off the bed. The wardrobe's doors slid smoothly back on their runners, and Jordan stared in amazement at more clothes than he'd ever seen in one place in his life. He'd worked in theaters that had smaller wardrobe stocks than this. There were robes and outfits for every conceivable occasion, and a few so outrageous they had to be either strictly traditional or left over from some best-forgotten masquerade. Jordan stripped off his travel-stained clothes and tossed them casually in the direction of the bed. He kept his shirt, even though it was no longer really a good fit for his new body. He'd have to adapt some of Victor's shirts when he had the chance. But for now, the hidden pockets in the sleeves, with their flare pellets and smoke bombs, were an advantage he didn't intend to give up. He chose an outfit pretty much at random and dressed quickly. The clothes felt almost sinfully comfortable and fitted perfectly. Jordan struck a pose in front of the wardrobe's full-length mirror. It had been a long time since he could afford clothes like these. The rich scarlet color really suited him, particularly when set off by the billowing burgundy cloak.
Your Highness! Where are you?
I'm in here. What's going on?
Jordan hurried out into the main room and found Roderick and Gawain waiting for him. His heart sank as he took in their worried expressions.
What is it? What's happened?
The regent has summoned all three princes to attend a special audience at court. The last time he did that, it was to inform them of their father's sudden death. I hate to think what he might have to say this time.
Does he know about us? About me?
I don't see how. But that doesn't mean much where the regent's concerned. The man has an uncanny knack for discovering things that everyone else had thought was safely hidden. It wouldn't matter so much if he wasn't so damned honest. Beats me how he survived at court all these years.
Jordan thought furiously about all he'd been told so far. If he remembered his briefing correctly, with the king's death it was traditional for a regent, chosen in advance by the king, to rule over the day-to-day problems of the kingdom until a new king was declared. The regent at this time was one Count William Howard, first cousin to King Malcolm. A fair man, but a hard man, had been Roderick's summing up. And too honest for everyone's good, Gawain had added.
How soon does he want to see me? And where's De Grange and Argent? Shouldn't they be in on this?
De Grange is busy checking into whether there really is a traitor among our people. He'll join us when he can.
I've sent word to Robert, but we can't wait for him. The regent wants to see you immediately. Lewis and Dominic are probably already on their way to court by now. We must leave at once, Your Highness. It would look very bad if you were to arrive late.
All right, then.
Lead the way.
Jordan let them usher him out of the main door and into the corridor. The two guards followed along as an honor escort. It was only then that Jordan remembered he'd left the dog behind in the bedroom. He knew he couldn't have brought it with him into court, but all the same, hopefully he wouldn't come back to a little present on his bed.
Sir Gawain, what do you think of the new clothes? Is it a suitable outfit for meeting the regent?
It'll do. You've worn worse in the past.
Oh, you're a great help. Look, what if the regent really has found out about us? What can we do?
I don't know about you, but if things do turn nasty, I personally will head for the nearest window, crash right through it without pausing, and keep on running until I reach a different country. Somehow I don't think the regent will see the funny side of all this.
Terrific.
He thought hard as they hurried down yet another corridor. Of all the confusing details in his new role, the missing will interested him the most. Whoever took it must have either wanted to know who the king had named as his successor, or believed the will held a clue as to the whereabouts of the crown and the seal. But it seemed clear that neither Louis nor Dominic had the crown and seal. If they had, they'd have made themselves king by now. Jordan didn't like the way his thoughts were heading. If the princes didn't have the will, then who did? Could there be some other separate party at work?
Blood and Honor is continued on the next CD.